This is HeartWise, offering practical tips and time-proven guidelines to make your life healthier, happier, and more fulfilling. Today you'll learn simple Bible-based principles for building and maintaining optimum mental and physical health, all while deepening your relationship with your Creator. I'm your HeartWise host, Charles Mills. A few short decades ago, a man from Germany decided that sickness was more than the result of out-of-control genetics or environmental issues. His research and experience, combined with top-notch education in epidemiology at the world-famous Loma Linda University Medical School, led him to discover that we really are in charge of our health, that we can make a definite impact on how sick we are and how sick we stay. So he designed and launched a health education program combining scientific information with social interaction. The result was something he called CHIP, or the Coronary Health Improvement Project. Today, his dream continues under the broader name, the Complete Health Improvement Program. He insists that we can be healthy by choice, not by chance. I'm proud to say that I've got the CHIP founder with us today, Dr. Hans Diehl. Welcome to HeartWise.
Well, it's good to be with you on the line.
Now, Dr. Diehl, let's begin at the beginning. When did you first realize that we really are in charge of our health when it comes to heart disease? Give us a little history lesson here.
Well, actually, it began probably during my graduate school. It was at that time that the famous Lalonde Report came out of Canada. Mm-hmm. The Minister of Health of the province of Quebec made the assertion that much of our heart disease then was not so much a matter of genetics or inherited kind of tendencies and so on, but it was related to a choice that people make. Hmm. And it was really an eye-opening report that we all take for granted today. But in those days, we didn't know this. And so I became very much concerned that, well, if this is really true, then could we not do something about the epidemic of heart disease that was surrounding us? And so it gave me the impetus to take a look at what really is heart disease. How did it all begin? And it took me all the way back to some Russian experiments. You wouldn't believe this. Around 1908, where some Russian scientists noticed that rabbits, which they were taking care of, who were fed meat scraps from the table of the Academy of Medicine there, when they autopsied these rabbits, they found that the rabbits that were eating the meat scraps actually had narrowed arteries, and they found some white things inside these arteries, which later on they actually determined was cholesterol. And so this was sort of the first sign that diet and disease, especially heart disease or narrowing of the arteries, at least in rabbits, there might be a connection there. I mean, that's how it started.
Weren't people having the same problem too? Wasn't there heart disease across the board at those times as well?
Oh, it was very, very difficult to find coronary artery disease. Hmm. That basically emerged only after World War I. So our heart disease epidemic today, it's a fairly recent development. It happened after basically World War I and really then emerged full-blown after World War II. And, you know, today, as we all face heart disease, we recognize that every third death is due to coronary artery disease, heart attacks, and so on, which 100 years ago, you couldn't find. So this was a very unusual finding that somehow you could begin to narrow arteries in rabbits by feeding them the meat scraps on the table of researchers. And of course, then a few years later, a report came from Indonesia. They found that Japanese people, these are the Indonesian people, apparently had no heart disease, but they found some heart disease in the Dutch people that were then running Indonesia. And they found some heart disease in these sailors that were on these Indonesian ships. And so the report came out, aha, we found something here. And that is that the emergence of some heart disease was not so much related to anything but genetics, because it wasn't found in the Indonesian people,
right.
But it was found in the Dutch people that lived in Indonesia. So we thought, well, it's a genetic thing. It's a racial thing. And then the report came back just about 2 years later from the same researcher, and he said, look, I just happened to study some Javanese Indonesian people who were living and eating on Dutch ships. And these Javanese people that are living and eating on Dutch ships have the same high cholesterol numbers that the Dutch people have. And so we suspect that they probably also developed some heart disease because they're eating the same food. So this then began to look at the possible relationship that there's something between diet and heart disease, not only in rabbits, but also in people that were living in Indonesia.
I'm surprised that they didn't decide that heart disease is caused by eating on ships. That was a kind of a surprise to me.
It's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and then, of course, it moved along, and before we realized that, we were into World War II. And now you have the largest nutritional experiment ever set up in the history of the world. And that is that millions of people were drawn into this conflict, and millions of people, as these Nazi armies marched into countries and occupied these countries and took all the livestock away from the people to feed their armies, you now had a very, very powerful nutritional experiment going on, because the occupied countries, the people there, had to live now on a very, very austere diet. They could no longer take the eggs and cheese and meat and so on, and the sausages that went out to the Nazi armies. But instead, they had to live on a very, very austere diet, where most of the foods now came from their gardens. They lived on a very, very simple food program. And wouldn't you know it, within 2 years, the heart disease rates that had really escalated since World War One now to World War II,
right,
began to drop significantly, dramatically.
My.
Now, I don't think that the Nazis had this as one of their goals to improve the heart disease rates in these occupied countries.
But I don't
think
so.
That's exactly what happened.
My. So here we have an occupying army that is killing itself by taking the food away from the people, and that food was killing the people to begin with. Now they're taking it on themselves, which is very nice of them. I appreciate that.
It is very interesting, isn't it?
Yes.
So this was in World War II, teaching us a lesson that maybe we didn't quite learn very well. So it became very obvious that the disease rates for diabetes and cancer and heart disease dropped dramatically, even during the time of war, one of the most stressful experiences that anybody can have. Because at that time, we also thought, well, maybe this heart disease might be related to stressful lifestyles.
Yeah.
Well, here you have war,
oh,
and yet the heart disease rates go dramatically down. Diabetes goes dramatically down because the diet had dramatically changed. And so then people said, well, who knows what this is all about? If this is really diet-related, then when the war is over and we can get back to our normal diet that we had before the war, then, well, then it should really go up again,
yes,
the
yes,
disease rates.
Yes.
And that's exactly what happened. Within 10 years, the rates were up again. And, of course, then you had the American lifestyle now spreading throughout the world. New foods were developed. Smoking came into being. And I tell you, the disease rates escalated more than ever before. So there was a relationship now establishing between diet and disease, especially chronic diseases like heart disease. Then begins a fascinating story that centers around a man by the name of Ansel Keys.
Well, we're going to hear about Ansel Keys, and we're going to listen to that story when we come back from our break. We're talking with Dr. Hans Diehl. He is the founder of the Complete Health Improvement Program. And I recommend, listener, that you visit the website there. ChipHealth.com is the website for the Complete Health Improvement Program. Everybody stay right where you are.
Here we are at the start of another kids' Bible club meeting, and I'm excited. You guys are doing such a great job of finding wonderful Bible texts to share. Tonight it's Lily's turn, right, Lily?
Whatever you say, Pastor Perez, I have my text ready.
Good. Let's hear it.
Okay, my favorite text is found in the book of Job, chapter 5, verse 19. Here's what it says. From 6 calamities, he will rescue you. In 7, no harm will befall you.
Interesting. If I remember my Bible correctly, those words were spoken to Job by his friend Eliphaz. Eliphaz was attempting to encourage Job, right?
I guess so. I just like them.
Lily, are you having some calamities in your life?
Henry's my brother. What do you think?
Hey, I'm a good brother.
Oh, I see. You need to know that no matter what Henry does, God will rescue you?
Something like that.
I'll have you know that I'm a lot better than I used to be.
Really? How?
Well, I make fun of you a lot less, I tease you a lot less, and when was the last time I put something gooey in your coat pocket?
Tuesday.
See? I'm cutting back.
You know, Henry, you might want to take it easy on Lily. After all, you are her big brother. She needs you to protect her, not bug her all the time.
Okay, no more gooey stuff, but beyond that, no promises.
Don't worry, Pastor Perez. I'm sure that whatever Henry does to me, there's a Bible text for it. I'll just keep looking.
Good attitude, Lily.
Jesus wants to be our friend. He's interested in everything we do and longs to be included in our lives. He has placed in our hearts a desire to share our deepest secrets and brightest hopes with Him. This program was brought to you by the Children's Ministries Department of the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists. Welcome back to the program. I'm your host, Charles Mills. Our guest today is Dr. Hans Diehl. He is the founder of the Complete Health Improvement Program, CHIP, and his website is chiphealth.com. I invite you to go there and visit because this program, the CHIP program, is changing lives around the world right now, and it is only growing in size and intensity and in the benefits that it brings to people. And Dr. Diehl, you were telling us before the break some of the history of the of heart disease and how it came about, and you mentioned that you have a story to share with us that might be the key, and you'll understand why I say that, the key to our problem today. Dr. Diehl, share with us the story of a man named Keyes.
It's a fascinating story. It really is. You see, they had observed an association between rich food deprivation during World War II and a reduction in the coronary death rate.
Right. Uh-huh.
And then this man, Ansel Keyes, appears, and he becomes the father of epidemiology, the father of the science that studies the epidemic and then says, why do we have an epidemic here and not there? What are the possible contributors to the epidemic? And Ansel Keyes now enrolled some business executives, some 280 middle-aged businessmen and executives in a program. And he follows these people very, very carefully over the next 10, 15 years. What he finds is absolutely astounding because he finds that those people who have the highest death rate or the highest heart attack rate are the people that also have three characteristics. Number one, he finds out that these people usually have higher cholesterol numbers than others. Number one. Number two, he finds that these people that have the higher heart attack rate also have higher blood pressures. And then number three, he finds that those who have the heart attacks have more of a smoking behavior. So he says, aha, maybe if you have high cholesterol, if you have high blood pressure, and if you're a smoker, you are at a higher risk for developing heart disease and heart attacks. Therefore, he called them, these are risk factors that are predictive for developing heart disease. Well, the story then begins to go further, and he begins to look around the world, and he realizes that somehow Japanese people in Japan have no heart disease. And so again, you know, the question comes to our minds. Are they protected because they have the right race, they have the right genes, or is there something in their lifestyle? And so he comes up with a very clever idea. He says, well, why don't we look at the Japanese in Japan And they live on a very, very simple diet, basically plant-based. They have very, very low cholesterol numbers, like 140, 150. And then he said, then why don't we go to study the Japanese that live in Hawaii? Because he noticed that the people in Hawaii usually have higher cholesterol numbers. And so he wondered what happened to those Japanese there. And then he said, and why don't we go to Los Angeles and find some Japanese there, and we make all the adjustments in terms of age and income and so on and so forth, but we look at the different dietary patterns of these Japanese living in Japan, in Hawaii, and Los Angeles. That's a brilliant idea, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And what he finds is truly astounding, because he finds that the Japanese in Japan have a cholesterol of about 150, in Hawaii they're 225, and in Los Angeles 250. And he said, aha, this is not so much a genetic, a racial thing. This must have something to do with the diet. And he begins to look at the diet differences, and he finds out that the Japanese in Japan, they're basically vegetarians, and they take in about 10% of all their calories in fat. The ones in Hawaii, 30% fat. The ones in Los Angeles, 40% fat. And he says, well, maybe it has something to do with the amount of fat. And then he begins to study the fat issue, and he says, aha, there are some saturated fats. These are fats that you find in animal products, usually. They're saturated fats, and they actually cause the liver to make excessive cholesterol. So that becomes then the driver of the high cholesterol, which then possibly could drive the disease. And that's exactly what he finds. He finds that the Japanese in Japan have virtually no saturated fat because they're basically vegetarians. And then he goes to the Japanese in Hawaii. They have considerably more. And so these are very, very interesting findings. And of course, what he does, this is really the clincher, what he does, he doesn't just look at Japanese people that are alive, but he's looking at people that have died. So he does autopsies, and his team does about 1,000 autopsies that are coming from Japan and then from Hawaii and from Los Angeles and all Japanese, and they find that the Japanese have the least amount of atherosclerotic plaque, they have the least heart disease, and those in Los Angeles and Hawaii, they have much, much higher atherosclerotic plaques, buildup of these, narrowing of the arteries, and the heart attacks. And so we have now a much, much stronger picture that emerges in the 1950s, and that suggests that diet and disease, chronic disease, are apparently related, and we need to do something about it.
Well, now that was the smoking gun that everyone was looking for. So how did you take, Dr. Deal, how did you take the smoking gun and apply it to your whole life career? How did that begin?
Well, there was one more huge study that Ansel Keys did, and that started in 1956. He looked at 12,000 men in seven different countries. And what he found is that in countries like Japan, as I mentioned, it was very rare to find heart disease. And in countries like Finland, they had 14 times more the attack rate from heart disease. They also had very, very high cholesterol numbers, and they also had a lot of saturated fat. And all of this then began to come together in making the case that here is something that we need to think about. How we live, how we eat affects the chronic diseases and our death rate. And of course, this then came to me during graduate school days, and I said to myself, my, if there's a relationship between how we eat and the disease that we have and how long we live, then we need to develop an educational program to maybe help people to move more towards a diet that in Japan has been very, very helpful. Or we have these other seven countries that Ansel Keys studied, and some of these countries, they noticed they had very little heart disease when they had a lot of fruits and vegetables that they were consuming. And so this then all sort of came together for me and gradually developed into, down the line, a CHIP program, the Complete Health Improvement Program designed to prevent and reverse heart disease, to prevent and reverse diabetes, to prevent and reverse high blood pressure, and help people do something with their overweight.
Now, you're using a word here, Dr. Deal, that was unheard of during these early studies, and that is to reverse heart disease. They identified heart disease. They could say, here it is, and here's what it looks like, and here's what caused it. But the idea of reversing it, where did that come from?
Well, these are some new concepts. They basically came out of the understanding that we developed from the seven-country study of Dr. Ansel Keys. Mm-hmm. And then this was then followed up by animal experiments. There were researchers that said, now, wait a minute. We want to really be sure that this relationship of diet and disease is really compellingly correct. Mm-hmm. And said, let's first do some experiments. And they thought of, well, let's feed some human beings. And we feed them a diet that creates high cholesterol. And then after 10, 15 years, they have to sacrifice their lives. And we open up the arteries. We do an autopsy. And we find out, did it work or not? And there were not too many volunteers, of course, including the human family that wanted to do this experiment and then lay down their lives.
Yes.
And so they said, well, maybe we can try it out with the monkeys.
Yes.
So they did some monkey studies. And what they did, they fed these monkeys a lot of eggs, egg yolks, because that's what the cholesterol is, and a lot of corn oil or any kind of oil. And when you have oil and cholesterol, you can create these plaques inside the arteries. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what happened in these monkeys. And Dr. Taylor was the first one that was actually feeding a monkey to die.
Mm-hmm.
And all he did, give him a lot of cholesterol, give him a lot of oil, and after 32 months, the monkey died of a massive heart attack. Now, I mean, you don't hear about monkeys dying of heart attacks living in the wild.
No, no, absolutely not.
But these monkeys did. And so this led to many, many experiments with large colonies of different animals. And, of course, monkeys are sort of closest to us in some fashion, the way we're built. It became very obvious that you can create the disease. And then they asked the question, well, listen, if we can create this disease, maybe we can reduce the dietary stimulus to the disease and see if maybe the disease process slows down or maybe stops or can be reversed. That's exactly what they found. They found that you can create this disease called atherosclerosis, heart disease, in monkeys, and you can also reverse it. And within 2 years, they were able to having these monkeys reverse their heart disease, the narrowing of the arteries, by making some very simple changes, leaving out the cholesterol and the fats in the diet.
Boy, you said something very chilling there, Dr. Deal. You said that this man fed the monkey a diet to make it die, and that's exactly what we are doing with the standard American diet. We're doing it to ourselves. We are feeding us a diet designed to make us die, Dr. Deal.
This was very stunning, you know, and it really affected me, because I was in the pursuit of becoming involved in medical education. What an important task before us now, that we can educate people, they can change the emergence of the number one killer in Western society. We could change that just by the choices we make, how we choose to eat, whether we smoke or whether we exercise, these kind of things. This all then came together and created a wonderful, most satisfying professional career for me, where we now have, as you know, some 65,000 people in the CHIP program, and most of these people are all changed people, people with hope again, people with new health. They can reverse these diseases. They can prevent these diseases. It has been an extraordinarily satisfying experience for me personally.
Well, we want to have you back, Dr. Deal, and talk more about the CHIP program. Would you come back and talk to us next week?
Well, of course.
Very good, very good. The website, chiphealth.com, is Dr. Deal's website if you want to know more about the CHIP program. This is Charles Mills, along with Dr. Hans Deal, inviting you to remain HeartWise. Goodbye, everyone. Thank you for joining us today on HeartWise. If you'd like more information on how to build and maintain optimum physical, mental, and spiritual health, log on to heartwiseministries.org. HeartWise is a listener-supported program, and your partnership with us would be greatly appreciated. Once again, our web address is heartwiseministries.org.